Casey will have to leave earlier. I thought I'd take questions from you after that, unless you have questions. Okay. Right, so what did we do last time? We are looking at extensions of groups. So this is a group B, which has a normal subgroup N, and a vector group G, and we can describe this by a short exact sequence that where exact means the image of one map is the kernel of the next map. And this is simply saying E has a subgroup which is isomorphic to N as a normal subgroup. It has a normal subgroup which is isomorphic to N. This map is a monomorphism. This map is onto the vector group of N is isomorphic to G. It's a group which is composed from G and N, and it is called an extension of G by N. Okay. Right, so I had called this probably mu and this probably epsilon or pi? Pi for projection. And once we want to work in this group E, we somehow need to represent the elements of the group, of the factor group, by elements of E. So we are choosing a transversal tau. And we want typically that the trivial elements, so if I take the identity element of G, what transversal element shall represent it, that should also be the identity element. And that's just that is that not fundamentally needed. It's just it will allow us in a few cases to simplify notation. You can get it all working with other choices, but that is more than a Houdini act. Oh, I can also do it with one arm tightly. Right. And we were asking the question, what does it mean for E to be a semi-direct product? So, and what we wanted is, we wanted that we can choose our representatives tau in a certain way, such that the representatives form a subgroup. So G tau is a subgroup, and tau is a homomorphism. Yes, it also should be faithful on G, should have trivial kernel on G, but because I want I have obviously the condition that if I take little g and I apply tau and then pi, I get little g again. So that automatically would make tau makes tau map which is 1-to-1. So that we get for free by definition. Okay. So how can we achieve this? What we would want is, we would want to choose So the condition would be that G H tau is G tau times H tau. That's the homomorphism property. And if that doesn't hold, we could try to see, can we modify tau? So, modify tau, so we have a map from G to N, which maps an element little g to an element ng, and what we want is that G, times ng h times nh tau Sorry. The towel is in the wrong. There it is. So, well, how, what would I have here? I would have g times h tau. I would still have g times h tau, but I would modify it with g n, the n associated to the product gh, and gh, that this should be equal to g tau times ng times h tau times nh. Right, that was the condition we had, and we rewrote this by bringing this over to the other, by moving this past here, and what we got is that gh tau divided by g tau h tau is equal to, so move this h past here by inserting h tau inverse, so we get n gh. So I can bring that over, so we get ng nh acted on, ng acted on by h nh divided by ngh. And I think, unless I divide it from the other side, that's the condition we had last time. And this, I write it here, acted on by h, this is a linear action. And if we assume that n is elementary abelian, we really just need that n is abelian, this action does not depend on the choice of tau. If I choose a different tau, I just modify by something of n, which doesn't act on itself because it's abelian. So then this makes sense to talk about that action. Right. And I mentioned we can interpret this as a system of linear equations. If I do this, for example, for all products, and I consider these n g's to be variables, so then I have h, the action of h is a matrix associated to h. So if ng is a vector, so you could interpret this as this is the vector ng1 up to ng dimension. Dimension would be the dimension of n. This vector multiplied with a matrix associated to h, that's a matrix for the action, for the action of h, well, then it becomes an addition plus n h 1 up to n h dimension minus n g h 1 up to n gh dimension, and that would be equal to something in n. This is some element in n which I could explicitly evaluate, right? Because in the factor group this has to be the identity. That's it. And now that would simply be a system of linear equations. Okay. Linear equations in these variables, in the entries here. If you solve the system, any solution gives you an assignment of these parameter, of these values, such that this map, which maps g to ng, would make the product G tau times NG form a complement. Okay. That's a system of linear equations. It's not one you want to solve by hand, but it's one which you can solve on the computer. And that's how the computer would find if there are complements. So, what I now want to do is to look at the situation if, in fact, tau already is a homomorphism. So, if tau is a homomorphism, so the group is a semi-direct product, well, then this becomes trivial. This is the identity. Because, so, then we get the condition that n g to the h times n h is equal to n g h. Okay. And that condition describes all maps from the factor group G, from G to N, such that G tau times NG, that these elements also form a complement. Right? So it describes all other complements, if one complement already exists. And since this is a set of linear equations, this is a subspace. This is a subspace of the space of functions from G to N. Okay, if N is elementary abelian, N is a vector space, any set of functions into an algebraic structure, the functions not having any other, you can impose further conditions, but the functions don't need to have an algebraic structure. The set of functions automatically also becomes the same algebraic structure by pointwise addition. Functions into a vector space from whatever set form a vector space itself by pointwise addition. So this is a vector space by pointwise operations. So we have a subspace and this is the notation is slightly sloppy because I just wrote the condition. We get a subspace of the functions. Okay, so what I will do is I will call the one co-cycles, and I will call this C1. That's the set of functions from G to N, and this is called the one co-cycles. I will look at the functions which fulfill this condition. I will call one co-chains, co-cycles is the next thing. Co-chains. Okay, and yeah, we'll see later why the name chain comes there, and co basically because originally a definition for something related was the other way around, and that's why you get. So, if we take those functions, n in C1 such that ng to the h times nh is equal to ngh, these are called the one co-cycles. And that is a subspace. And the subspace simply given by a linear condition.
Sorry, just for clarification. Yeah. So when we say they satisfy that, that means for all G and that N sub G?
For all pairs, exactly. For all pairs G and H in the factor group.
And that means N sub G is the image of G under N.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. And it's just if I write it as function, so yeah, that, so ng means, yeah, so so n maps an element g to the image ng. Okay, and what we have seen is this space of one cocycles, if E is a semi-direct product, then the set of one cocycles describes all complements. Right? That was this condition here. So not just is it a subspace, it has an algebraic structure, it's an algebraic structure with a meaning. Okay. We have a quarter past, if you, I don't know how, okay, you have 5 more minutes. Okay. So, yeah, so we can stay, well, let's, I'll write this as a theorem a little bit later, because we will have it more general. But so, this space corresponds to all complements if the group is a semi-direct product. Okay. Of course, we can have multiple complements. If, for example, if we take the group S5 and we take A5, yes, this doesn't fit the pattern because A5 is not abelian, but we could, for example, take the group generated by 1, 2, that is a complement, or we could take the group generated by 3, 4, and that is another complement. They are different subgroups. And in both cases, the group is a semi-direct product. Okay, what turns out in this case, these two subgroups are conjugate. Well, if I go to something a bit larger, if I go to the case of S6, and I have the subgroup A6, well, then I could take, for example, I can take both of these again, but I could also take the subgroup generated by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 by a triple two-cycle. Mm. And now I have, so these are conjugate, these two are not conjugate. So in general, what we can have is, if the group is a semi-direct product, there might be several conjugacy classes of complements. So what I want to see is how does conjugacy of complements translate to this language? Okay? So, now, how does conjugacy translate? Okay. So, to look at what conjugacy does, we need to conjugate with some element. So I pick an element little m in n and I conjugate. And clearly, if I have a complement, if I conjugate it, it stays a complement. That's because n is normal. It must be a subgroup. The intersection is trivial. Together they generate. So now conjugate the complement, which consists of the elements g tau times ng for a given choice n with an element m in n. Okay. What happens? Well, what I get is the set of elements g tau times ng conjugate by m. Okay, that's not surprising. But now I want to expand what is happening here. So, that is M inverse times G tau times M. Okay, since I assume that N is abelian, M does not act on the N by conjugation, right? Times ng. Okay. And I now want to write this element, of course. In the factor group, the conjugation by M doesn't change anything if I conjugate with something in the normal subgroup. Right? In the factor group, M becomes the identity. So, this element, M inverse G tau M, I must be able to write as G tau times something. And this something, I want to find out what it is. Okay. So, how can I... how can I do so? Basically, I want to move... Have a safe trip. Move this G tau here. And I do it again in the lame trick of Rykot inserting a G tau inverse. So what I get is this would be G tau times G tau inverse times M inverse times G tau times M. Right? Okay. And this I can write slightly differently. I can write this as M acted on by G inverse times M. Right?
Or it, by G tau.
Yes, by G tau, but I said the action does not depend on the choice of tau. Yes, it would be acted on by G tau. Mm-hmm. But I had said because N is abelian, the action does not depend on the choice of tau. And so I'm writing the action just with such an exponent by acting by an element of the factor group. So in some way, in both of these cases here, this there would be formally a tau hidden. Mm-hmm. Right? But what I have is, I have an action, because N is abelian, I have an action from of the factor group on N, which I can execute by conjugating with an element image under tau, and it does not depend on the choice of tau. So, I probably should have said this. So one part of the input is I have chosen, so we assume we have an action of G, and this would be a linear action of G on N. And that is part of the input. If I have different actions, I have different groups. So if I start with a group E, I can calculate what this action is. If I want to construct groups, I need to specify that action. And that is the same as with a semi-direct product. If I want to form a semi-direct product, I have a choice. I need to choose how the complement should act on there. And it's the same thing here. It's... Just later, I don't necessarily assume that I have a complement. But in this case, they are semi-direct products, so I have this action. Okay. So, what is happening here? I have the complement G tau times N, where the elements are have the form G tau times NG. So it's a complement associated to the function N. What happens after conjugation? So that complement the complement associated to the function N, which maps G to And G is associated, is mapped by M to the one associated by the, to the function. Okay, what is the function? An element G. So my function now is not just ng, but I'm differing by this element. So I have a function which maps an element g to ng plus, now let me write this additively, because I have a vector space. I could have written this here already additively to have it nice as a function. Ng plus m minus m acted on by g. Right? That's the function I'm getting there. If I take that function, I get exactly this complement. Okay? You look a bit skeptical? No?
No, that's just something I need to digest.
Yeah. No, that is. Okay. So, that is just a translation. Right? If I look at vectors, I'm adding something. Okay. So, I have this M minus M acted on by G. So, what I claim is, this is also an element. Well, this is certainly a one code chain. This is a function from G to N, right? So this is clearly a function from G to N. What I claim is it actually is a one cocycle. So claim the function, so given an element little m in N, the function which maps an element g to m minus m acted on by g is an element of the one cocycles. Oh, and why do I call it z? Because cycle in German, it's called Zyklus, and it's spelled with a z. Yeah. Okay. Why is this the case? I just need to check this condition here, right? So I need to evaluate this function at g. So how do I show this? I evaluate this function at g, which would give me m minus m acted on by g. Okay? And I act on this with h. And I add the function associated to h. What would this be? This would be m minus m acted on by h. Right? And my question is this equal to the function associated to gh? What is the value of this on gh? That's m minus m acted on by gh. Okay, so, well, this I can easily evaluate, right? So what is this? Because h is a linear action, this would be m acted on by h minus m acted on by gh. Okay, what am I using here? I'm using that the group G acts on N, that it's an action of the group. So not only do I have, and I would have this always if N, whatever normal subgroup N is, that too, for every element G, I can associate an action of that element that will act as a homomorphism. But the map from G, from the factor group, to the set of automorphisms, is a homomorphism itself. Right? That's what I'm using here. And that uses implicitly that N is abelian. If N is not abelian, we cannot guarantee that. Okay. Well, plus M minus M acted on by H. And we see we have M acted on by H and M acted on by H there. Plus and minus, they cancel out. So indeed, yes, this is the case. Okay. So, what have we done? We have associated to every element of M of little m of n, we have associated a function. So, what we do is, we have associated a function from G to n, namely the function which on the element little g has the value m minus m acted on by g. Okay. And we have seen these functions lie in the one cocycles. So this is another set which is called B1. And so what are these? These are functions okay, now I need to give it a name. These are the functions M minus M acted on by G for some M in N. And I consider this expression as a function from G to N. So it's the function f which maps the element little g to m minus m acted on by g. Okay, and we have seen that function indeed lies in there, and this is called the one coboundaries. Okay. So, we'll see this a bit later also, but what one can already observe is in some way we have associated to elements of N, which would be functions from a one element set, from the zero times direct copy of G to N, to such things, we've associated a function from G to N. And here we have a condition which has a two-parameter condition. So one can interpret this condition that if I take an arbitrary function n in C1 and I would associate, map from there to a space of functions from g cross g to n in a certain way, I have the kernel there. It's the kernel of it's a linear condition. It's the kernel of a linear map. Okay, and the image of the first map lies in the kernel of the second map. That's the generic structure we have, and I'll write this down in more detail later. Yeah, but we have this condition there. And what we have seen is, okay, the one cocycles correspond to complements. If I have a complement, the one coboundaries, adding an element of the one coboundary, the element corresponding to little m, tells me what happens under the complement if I conjugate by little m. Right? That's how I got to this condition. This was this calculation. So, I had said conjugating by little m gives me a complement which is associated to the function if I add this. So, or if I want to have all complements up to conjugacy, they are described by Z, and this one I should have drawn more carefully here, by Z1 modulo B1. Okay, and now I can state this as a figure. if E is a semi-direct product, what does this mean? I.e., a semi-direct product for a specified action of G on M. Then otherwise I can't talk about semi-direct products. Well, then the conjugacy classes complements, and indeed we have seen there could be several ones, correspond to a group, well, a vector space, but for some reason it is then called again a group. It's an additive group. It's the group Z1 modulo B1, and this group is called H1, and it's called the first cohomology group. Okay. Basically, initially something was defined which was homology, and that's why it's called H. And there they had it as an index, and by writing the indices above, we get cohomology. But so this factor group describes the conjugacy classes of complements if there is a semi-direct product. Okay. So this group has a group theoretic interpretation. Okay. At this point, I will, unless there are questions, we'll leave this for a moment. We will get back to this. We will get back to this condition a little bit later. But I think it is more obvious to see if we come from, rather than trying to do the tunnel through the mountain, we will come from two sides, and we will see that the tunnels we start, the holes we start to dig at some point come together. Okay, so, but that was the case of semi-direct products. We have seen there are groups which are not semi-direct products. So, can I describe the groups which are not semi-direct products? So now, describe arithmetic in general extensions so I have n and I have a map tau here, I have a projection here, and I have mu here. Okay. So, how can I describe arithmetic in such a group? So first I need to describe what are the elements. What are the elements? The elements of E would be pairs of elements of N and elements of G, right? So they would be pairs G N, and what, how I interpret tau is simply that tau would map G to the element G comma 1. So what I can do is, instead of talking about pairs, I can write G and mean an element of E, and just consider this as a product. So I will write this as G times N, and I will write this as G as an element of E. And that is just, in some situations, I think that is easier to describe. To write some things down than to put enormous formulas. Okay, so these are the elements. Now, what do I need? I need two further data points or input things. I have on the one hand a function which goes from G to the automorphisms of N. Okay. Namely, what shall it do? The element little g shall be mapped to the map which maps N to N conjugate by G tau. Right? And if N is not abelian, that is not necessarily, this map is not a homomorphism in general. So in general not. Not homomorphism. But if N is abelian. So we will look later again at the case that N is abelian, but the general, for the general setup, we don't necessarily need this. Okay. Right. And I might write this here. No, for the moment let's keep the tau there just to be safe. Okay. So I have this. That is certainly something I can calculate, and we will need this later to describe what is happening. Okay. There is a second thing. If it is a semi-direct product, that's basically all I need. But the group is not necessarily a semi-direct product, and so I need to define a second function. And the second function is the following. The second function tells me how much tau differs to be a homomorphism. So that is the first, this is the first function. The second function is a function which goes from called little m, which goes from G cross G to N. Okay, and how do I want to define this? I want that if I take G tau times H tau, that shall be GH tau times M G comma H. Okay, so tau is not necessarily a homomorphism. Right? So if I take G tau and I multiply it with H tau, in the factor group it's the element GH. But if I multiply the representative for G with the representative for H, by default it is not necessarily the chosen representative for GH. If tau is a homomorphism, if G and H lie in a complement, it is. But if not, it would differ by something, and this thing where it differs by is, I call this element MGH, and it's associated to G and H, and it's something in the normal subgroup. So, just the set of all of these, and these things are called cofactors, because they basically tell me how much it differs. The set of these cofactors I can interpret as a function from G cross G to N.
So that's just what it needs to be.
What it needs to be. Cool. Yeah. That's just what it needs.
Awesome.
How it differs. So MGH is defined as G tau times H tau divide, and then I divide from the left GH.
Cool.
GH tau. Great. Okay, and I just call it a function because it has the parameters, and that's the mathematical thing to have something depending on parameters. So, if the group is a semi-direct product, and I could choose tau to be a homomorphism, then these cofactors are trivial. And I don't need to write them down. And that's why one didn't have these to be the... Why one didn't need to write these. This is the chair, it moved back. Why we have these not in the case of the definition of a semi-direct product. So at this point I haven't really done anything miraculous. What I've just done is I've said, okay, I have this group E, assume the group E is given. By making this choice of mu and tau, I can parameterize these elements by pairs. I've made a choice of tau, and then just if I have an element E, how do I write it as such a pair? I look, what is the image in the factor group? I divide off the representative for that element. That will give me something in N, and that will give me the N part. Okay, and now I've said, well, I can describe how each representative acts on N. That is something which looks as if I might need it. And I'm describing how much this tau differs from being a homomorphism. Of course, what you can do is, you can say, well, I want it to be a homomorphism. I define the image of GH under tau to be that product. But basically, you have, if your factor group G has order K, you have K choices for tau, and you have K square conditions here. So that's why you can't make it always go away. You can indeed, you can try to define it conveniently, and in practice that's what is done, to get rid of a lot of these M's by definition. But you can't do so universally. You need to keep some, and when describing it theoretically, one can as well say, okay, let's keep all of them there. Right. So what I now want to see is, I have these two functions. I want to see certain conditions for these functions which have to hold. And these conditions basically come from calculating, doing arithmetic in the group E. Okay. So, the first condition is I made the assumption that tau, that if I choose the identity for tau, for G, that one tau, the one element of G under tau is the one element of E, right? So that makes this condition a little bit easier, because I have that M1G is 1 is the same as mg1, and now I need to be careful with the ones. Which ones are they? This is the 1 in g, and this is the 1 in e. Right? And why is this the case? Because if I take, let's look at this one here, if I take the 1 in G under tau times the image of little g under tau, what is this? By definition, this is the identity. This is the identity in E times g under tau. And on the other end, if I form the product in the fact, because this is the identity, this is the image of g under tau. And the product in the factor group, of course, is g. So in this case, I do not need a cofactor here. And the same way for the product the other way. Okay, so that is one condition. And now, but not today, I will get two further conditions. One is a condition which tells me about the interplay of this function with this one. What basically happens if I conjugate a representative? No, sorry, I don't even need this. No, I just need if I conjugate twice. This is telling me how much does this differ from being a homomorphism. And I want E to be a group. I want the multiplication to be associative. So I will need to look at this with a triple product. Yes, yeah, yeah, this is not, this gets a little bit ugly because we get three indices. And that will give us a further condition on M. And then basically one can show with these three conditions that will always give you a group. Okay, but that's next time.
So these are conditions that we need to set because isn't this a consequence of that? Oh, but that was the same.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same thing. Okay.
So basically these conditions will be that we can then say synthetically, take a group N, take a group G, take such a function and take such a function. You want that they fulfill this condition and the two other conditions. If this is the case, the set of pairs G, N, under the obvious multiplication rules which follow from this, is a group. Yeah. And they are necessary, so that will describe all possible ways how one can put these groups together. And then the question is just, can we actually, yes, these are certain functions, but these are horrible functions. In the case that N is abelian, we actually can describe these in a nicer way. Yeah.
Great.